Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and around the world. But to welcome also to the programme four very talented, clever exponents of this game who are going to show their dexterity with words as they try and speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And those four are seated on my left, Rick Wakeman and Josie Lawrence, and seated on my right, Phil Jupitus and Julian Clary. Please welcome all four of them! Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score. She'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we begin the show with Julian Clary, and who better? Julian, can you tell us something about my first day at school? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
My first day at school is ingrained on my memory. It was a very traumatic experience. I was wearing short trousers just above the knee, and I had a knock in that particular area of my anatomy, if you know what I'm saying. So I felt very exposed. Nevertheless, the teacher, Miss Lomax, said, "Sit yourself down, Julian, there's nothing to worry about." 5 minutes later, I felt a terrible urge to visit the bathroom. "Excuse me," I said to the person in charge, who I've already told you about, "I'd like to visit the little boy's room." "No," she said, "sit down and behave well."
Oh, Josie Challenge.
Sorry, sit twice.
Yes, he told you to sit down more than once. Whether you made it to the gents or not.
Well, I'll just tell you, because people might be wondering, mightn't they? In Indonesia.
If you get in, you could tell us then, or do you want to wait?
Oh, no, shall I wait? That's a good
wait,
idea.
Yes, you might be able to finish the story. Yes. You never know. Listen, hell to Josie. She's good, but she's not perfect at the game.
Story
about,
of my life.
About just a minute. No one's perfect at the game.
Exactly.
It'll trip you up sometime,
perfect?
Like many, many, or very, very, that come in from time to time.
Exactly.
Right. So, Josie, it was a correct challenge, and you have my first day at school and 24 seconds available starting now.
My first day at school was traumatic because I'd had the measles, so all the children...
June and Challenge.
Oh, my story is more interesting.
What I sometimes do, we give bonus points. Julian, that deserved a bonus point. A lovely laugh. But you were interrupted, Josie, so you get a point for being interrupted, and you have 19 seconds still available. My first day at school, starting now.
All the children there already knew each other. I felt very lonely, but in the corner there was an obstruction. No, a construction, I think you could call it, called a Wendy.
Julian Challenge.
Well, was it a deviation? There was a construction in the corner. It doesn't make sense. Doesn't hang together.
No, it was a... I think I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, Julian, because she wanted to say obstruction, and she said construction.
No, I said obstruction and I wanted to say construction.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Well, the construction was an obstruction, was it?
Yes.
I'm trying to get Julian in to hear the end of the story, actually. Very generous of you. So, Julian, you've got the benefit of the doubt. And you have 7 seconds on my first day at school, starting now.
3 times I requested visitation rights to the latrine, but they were denied. And in the end, there was a tinkling sound. And I'm sorry, it's true, but I had wet myself on my first day at school. And I was mortified.
Well, did you ever expect to get a round of applause for saying you wet yourself on your first day at school? Anyway, you kept going to the whistle when you gained an extra point for doing so, and you have taken the lead at the end of that round. And then Josie's got a couple of points. Rick and Phil have yet to score anything. Rick Wakeman, we'd like you to begin the next round. A lovely subject, one of my favourite words, tintinnabulation. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I actually know what tintinnabulation means because I have a CD by a famous Estonian composer called Pärt, who did a lot of tintinnabulation. It's not what you think, based on that little Belgian cartoon character who has the little white dog called Snowy.
Josie Challenge.
Sorry, my love.
That's all right.
Little.
Yes, little. Well, yeah. Josie, well, listen. You're in there with 42 seconds to go on. Tintinabulation starting now.
The bells, Esmeralda. They made me deaf, you know, because of all the tintinabulation. I know this word because I actually suffer from tinnitus. And that is also where that comes from, the tin sound, meaning a ringing, a pealing of bells.
A Turing challenge.
Repetition of bells.
Oh, I did, yes. No, yes, I did.
Yes, you did indeed, right. Well, listen, Julian, 21 seconds to go, and you have tintinabulation starting now.
Put a bell in my hand, and I'm a very happy man. I have that no one quite understands. The sound emanates across the...
There was an awful lot of hesitation. I think
I'm
it was because he had...
I'm not surprised after what he said. But it was correct, sir, within the game. So, Rick, you've got in with 11 seconds to go on. Tintinabulation starting now.
There was also a famous dog episode with tintinabulation, with Alsatians playing the...
Phil Charles.
Couple of withs.
Oh, yes, that's sharp. It's true, though. Yes, with, right.
You'll so never know what the dogs did now.
Yeah. Well, as long as they didn't wet themselves, I think we were all right.
4 seconds, Phil, on tintinabulation, starting now.
Campanologists are some people that must enjoy tintinabulation in its many and varied...
So, at the first round, end of the first round, I'll let you know that Julian is in the lead at 4 points, then Josie 3, then Phil 2, and Rick 1. And it is Phil Jupiter's to begin. Swimming with dolphins, Phil. 60 seconds, starting now.
I once swam with dolphins in Florida in the United States of America. It was arranged for us by our travel agent, and we arrived at our destination to meet the dolphins in question. They were called Sparky and Denise. There were two of them. We got into the water and were told that we must not insert anything into the blowhole because the dolphins did not like this. We were allowed to hold the dolphins gently with our hands, and their powerful fins would propel us through the water. As one did this...
Julian Challenge.
Repetition of water.
Yes, there was a bit too much water there. You got in with 29 seconds on swimming with dolphins starting now.
I too was invited to swim with dolphins in Perth, Australia. I got to the water's edge and there they were, the little heads poking out going, meep, meep, and I...
Repetition of...
it's all one word, Nicholas.
No, I know dolphins speak quite well.
These were Australians.
These were Australian dolphins, were they? No, I don't believe you, Julian. I'd love to, because we love hearing from you, but no, Rick had a correct challenge. 20 seconds available, Rick. Swimming with dolphins, starting now.
I had a traumatic experience swimming with dolphins in Florida. As I got into the water, I realised that I couldn't swim. The dolphins were not at all impressed and slowly pushed me to the bottom of the pool, holding me down, hoping that it was their supper that they could eat later, because they did not like the fish that the keepers gave them.
So Rick Wegman was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, and he's now in second place with Josie Lawrence behind Julian Clary. And Josie, your turn to begin. Oh. The subject is postage stamps. Mm-hmm. Tell us something about that in this game starting now.
What I know about postage stamps you could fit onto the back of a postage stamp. They're oblong, they have printed designs on the front and gum at the back, serrated edges, and in this country, the Queen's face always, I believe, pointing to the left. In the olden days, the glue on...
Julian Challenge.
Repetition of glue.
No, I said gum first.
Oh, did you say gum?
Yeah, gum,
oh,
yes.
Oh, gum and glue.
On the back, yes.
Pardon me for living.
No, the incorrect challenge says postage stamps. 36 seconds, Josie, starting now.
You had to lick it. It wasn't self-adhesive like it is now. Some people enjoyed the taste. I had a friend, Rosemary, who enjoyed licking...
Full challenge.
Enjoyed.
Rosemary enjoyed too much, didn't she? 25 seconds is with you, Phil, on postage stamps starting now.
One of the rarest postage stamps in the United Kingdom is the penny black. This featured the face of Queen Victoria and is much sought after by stamp collectors, who are also known as forgotten.
You were searching for philatelists, weren't you?
I was always looking for philatelists, Nicholas.
But Julian challenged first, and so it's hesitation. Postage stamps with you, Julian, and there are 13 seconds available starting now.
Isn't it jolly at Christmas time when you pop down to the post office to get your stamps ready?
Great challenge.
You're... A lot of hesitation.
No, there was one hesitation.
Well, there was one hesitation, and also the post office is probably closed anyway, so you probably couldn't really pop down there. It'd be a long drive. But hesitation.
I don't know what you're talking about, Rick.
Hesitation.
Seven seconds. Postage stamps starting now.
I used to collect postage stamps when I was at school. I don't know why, because I didn't enjoy licking them and putting them in the book.
So Rick was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's moved to the second place behind Julian Clary, who's still our leader. And Julian, it is your turn to begin. And the subject is now Dress Down Friday. Will you tell us something about that? I've never used expressions. I don't really know what it means, but I can guess. But you talk on the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
When I was in the Metropolitan Police, Fridays was Dress Down Friday, and we would go casual, slacks and some open-heel shoes, and really made no difference to our arrest rate. Some people thought we were going undercover, but I said, no, it's Dress Down Fridays, Sergeant. I can't tell you what he came as, but a donkey outfit was involved. Into the back of the van, and we went down to Waterloo, where all the troublemakers are. We said, oi, you're nicked, me old matey. Who do you think you're talking at? Eeyore, they'd say. I said, don't speak to him like that. That's the man in charge. You want to get a grip, my son? Oh, yes. Dress Down Fridays was something to be remembered. After that, when I joined the army, Dress Down Fridays was also something that occurred. I would just discard the outer layer, and how long is this minute going on for?
Yes, I'm very naughty, Julian, because you were going so well and everyone's enjoying it. I let you go on. You actually went for 1 minute, 10 seconds.
Oh, really? Do I get an extra point?
You've certainly increased your lead. Rick, will you begin the next round? What a contrast to this other subject. Lord's Cricket Ground. Not too far from here, but tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The wonderful thing about the United Kingdom is that it has a lot of wonderful sporting...
Wonderful.
They're not that wonderful either, really.
54 seconds, Phil. Lord's Cricket Ground, starting now.
I visited Lord's Cricket Ground for the very first time last year to attend an exhibition on the sport of baseball, which might seem paradoxical to some, but that said event was taken to I.
Oh, I wish it was television, they could see your face. Anyway, Josie, you challenge first.
Hesitation.
Speaking. Lord's Cricket Ground, Josie, 40 seconds, starting now.
In my mind, the Lord's Cricket Ground is... Oh, bloody hell! I was talking about the gown he was wearing, the Lord, before he played cricket. The Lord's Cricket Gowned.
It doesn't make sense. So if it's...
It doesn't make sense, no matter how I say it.
So Rick got in first, and he's got 37 seconds on Lord's Cricket Ground, starting now.
I, like somebody else who's sitting up here on this stage, is a Lord's Taverner, and our spiritual home is Lord's Cricket Ground. Unfortunately, I have never had the pleasure of hitting willow to leather on that wonderful pitch, crease, ground, whatever you like.
Well, he had a bit of a meltdown, like me.
And so you've got him at 20 seconds on Lord's Cricket Ground.
I'm not optimistic.
Well, try. You start now.
The test match is played at Lord's Cricket Ground as great teams meet each other and they do... I can't do it!
good challenge for us.
Yes, so, well, call, what should we call it? Hesitation or...
Call it a nervous breakdown.
Yeah. It's a shame, Rick. You might get on better if you didn't move around so much. Our whole table is heaving around. Very, very distracting for me.
I should explain to our listeners that Julian and Phil are sitting at the same table there.
Give him a bit of a massage, Julian.
Well, be another 50 quid.
Julian, you had a correct challenge. You have Lord's Cricket Ground. 13 seconds, starting now.
Personally, I loathe cricket. In my opinion, Lord's Cricket Ground would be better served as an ornamental garden where we could all go and frolic. They could still keep the name Lord's Cricket Ground, but there would no be no ball games.
Challenge.
Oh,
the hesitation.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm glad you stopped him after the scurrilous things he was saying. You know, the home of cricket. I mean, there's a sanctified place to us enthusiasts about
game,
the sport.
It's a new game, Nicholas.
I know, but there's cricket and there's a game, but cricket is a...
See, it's not easy.
No, it's not easy. No, when you feel passionate about something, doing it is difficult, but I couldn't cope.
It's dangerous, apart from anything, cricket.
Well, no, you have helmets now and boxes.
Sorry? I would do fielding and that awful concrete ball thing would come flying towards me. It's not the face.
It's not the face. It's made out of leather.
Well, even so.
So you've got half a second to go, Josie, on Lord's Cricket Ground, starting now.
The Lord...
So June is still in a strong lead, and then it's Josie, Lawrence, Rick, Wakeman and Phil Jupiter's in that order. And, Phil, we'd like you to begin the next round. Why poems should rhyme? Strange subject. A second or two to think about it. Talk on it, 60 seconds. Starting now.
Why poems should rhyme is a very interesting subject and one with which I don't entirely agree. Poetry is a marvellous field of endurance.
There are some challenging subjects this week, I must say. So, Josie, you challenge then.
Yes, it was a deviation. He said endurance.
Yes, I did.
And you've got a correct challenge, a point. 49 seconds available. Why poems should rhyme, Josie, starting now.
Poems should always rhyme. If they don't rhyme, then they're just stories, surely. Yes, poems should always rhyme, like lavender, rosemary and...
Great challenge.
This is total rubbish. Honest about
it's somebody's opinion, Rick.
So, was it hesitation, repetition, or deviation?
Well, there was some, sort of a lot of quite a lot of hesitation and deviation.
I think there was a bit of hesitation. Yeah. So, benefit of the doubt to you, Rick. 37 seconds on why poems should rhyme, starting now.
Edward Lear was a great exponent of the limerick, and one of the things why things should rhyme is.
Josie challenge.
Things.
Yeah,
things.
Which rhymes with things?
So, Josie, you've got in again on the subject that nobody really wants, and there are... 31 seconds, starting now.
I suppose it would be a very boring world if, artistically, poems always rhymed. Look at the myriad of poetry we've had over the years. Homer's Iliad, for example. That didn't rhyme, but it was still a magnificent piece. And yet...
Rick challenged.
Two pieces.
Yes, there was a piece. So, Rick, you've got in. You tell us something about this weird subject. And 13 seconds available, starting now.
There was a young man from Dundee who was stung on the leg by a wasp. When asked if it hurts, he said, not very much. It can do it again if he likes. That is why poems should always rhyme...
That was a very clever exponent of that subject. Well done, Rick. And you move forward. You're now 1 point behind our leader. You're equal, actually, with Josie Lawrence in second place. But Julian Clary is still out there, 1 point ahead of you. And, Josie, we'd like you to begin the next round. It's your turn. And another weird subject, mediocrity. Starting now.
For years, I've been striving towards mediocrity. And I can happily say that there are times when I have achieved it. I don't want to be brilliant, and I don't want to be blood...
And Julian challenge.
I don't want.
I don't want.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yes.
See? Well, it's working then, isn't it?
Julian, 48 seconds. Mediocrity starting now.
It's better to be last or first, I've always thought, than mediocre. Mediocrity is something we're always told to avoid, yet, strangely, we're drawn to it like a moth to a flame. Perhaps, some might say, it's our natural state. Mediocrity. It's a difficult word to say if you are indeed mediocre.
Hesitation. Yeah, we interpret that as hesitation. 26 seconds are still available. Mediocrity is with you, Josie, starting now.
Sometimes mediocrity is a safe place to be. You don't have to answer to anybody. You can just live your life in an average kind of way. And there is nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make you good. It doesn't make...
Julian Challenge.
It doesn't make you...
Oh, I know. You see, I'm striving so hard not to win this show.
Well, you're doing pretty well.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're doing pretty well to win it.
Oh, I see.
Julian, that was you. Another correct challenge. 13 seconds. Mediocrity starting now.
Mediocrity was, in fact, a poem by E.F. Benson, but it was so dull, it was never published. It fully fulfilled its...
Rick Challenge.
There was sort of hesitation.
There was a little hesitation, yeah. Yes, Rick. So you tell us something about mediocrity. 4 seconds. Mediocrity with you, Rick, starting now.
Mediocrity is the word used by A&M Records to describe my first 11 albums.
Well, at the end of that round, Rick Wakeman was speaking as a whistle went, got that extra point. Julian Clary is still in the lead, but he's one ahead of Rick now, 2 ahead of Josie, and a few more ahead of Phil Jupiter's. And, Julian, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, a lovely subject. Roses. Tell us something about those beautiful blooms and flowers, starting now.
Oh, I know all about roses. My favourite variety is called iceberg. White they are, and they flower increasingly.
Phil Jupiter's challenge.
That is a hesitation, then.
Yes, it was. And there are, oh, quite a lot of seconds, 52 seconds available. Roses with you, Phil. Starting now.
My favourite rose is a wild variety called the dog rose. When I am taking my hound out for a walk, we often see these fine bushes blooming in the summer Essex countryside, and I think to myself about the beauty of these fine flowers. And then...
Julian Challenge.
Repetition of fine.
Yes, we talked about the fine before, and it was the correct... Let's hear a more... Hybrid roses, then, from you, Julian. 37 seconds. Roses starting now.
If you climb over the walls of Buckingham Palace, Her Majesty has a magnificent collection. You could pick as many as you want. They're free. She doesn't mind. She never potters about the garden herself, you know. She's got punters.
Rick Challenge.
An awful lot of she's.
An awful lot of she's, I'm afraid. Let two go, but the third one he picked you up. Right, 25 seconds. Roses with you, Rick, starting now.
My favourite rose is a hybrid called Hanky Panky, and it's a sort of red and white stripe. Very pretty, and it was taken from the Rachel Rose and one other rose of which name I cannot remember.
Josie Challenge.
I'm sorry to be pedantic, but you said rose twice, and I think the title was Roses.
That is, it is.
Yeah, but if I said it...
Hello, my pretties.
If I said it twice, that means there's two of them.
Trying to be fair within the rules of just a minute, Josie is right. Actually right. Mm. So, Josie, you have another point and another correct challenge, and the subject, roses, 12 seconds, starting now.
Roses are a flower that have always scared me, probably because of the thorns. If you prick yourselves on these awful little pointy monstrosities, you can sometimes get blood poisoning.
So, we're moving into the final round. Oh, you're lovely, the audience, right. I'll give it to you in ascending order. Phil Jupiter, who did extraordinarily well, is trailing a little in fourth place. And then ahead of him, second in equal place, are Josie Lawrence and Rick Wakeman. About 1 point ahead of them, out in the lead, is Julian Clary. And Rick Wakeman, it's your turn to begin. I've gone very quiet, trying to create a sort of dramatic atmosphere. As we go into the final... It's a lovely subject to finish on. Cuckoo clocks. Tell us something about cuckoo clocks, Rick, starting now.
For 5 years in the 1970s, I lived in Switzerland, and the first thing I discovered was that cuckoo clocks didn't actually come from that country. They came from Austria, which was a big disappointment to me because I discovered that where I lived had actually done nothing.
Julian Challis.
Repetition, you've discovered.
Yes, you discovered quite early on.
I went there twice.
In just a minute, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Cuckoo Clocks is with you, Julian, and there are 45 seconds available starting now.
I met a man in a nightclub once who said, would you like to come home with me and see my cuckoo clock? Well, I must have misunderstood him. Into the apartment, and there was this wooden thing on the wall going, cuckoo. I said, yes, come on then, let's get down to business. But no, it was simply a time-telling machine. Well, that was one of the worst nights of...
Who'll give it as a challenge?
A little hesitation.
There was a little hesitation. Right. Cuckoo Clocks is with you, Phil. 21 seconds available starting now.
The moment the bird pops out of the hole in the front of the clock, I am transfixed and wait for his next appearance. Shall it be 4 or 5 times? Well, that very much depends on what the actual time is that he emerges.
Rick, challenge.
Repetition of time.
Times and time.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yes.
Right.
Well said. Well, quite true. 10 seconds, still with you. Phil, having got another point, of course. Cuckoo clocks starting now.
They may be fashioned from pine or perhaps from oak, but whichever wood it is that they are crafted from, these clocks are the pride and joy of those who own them. Up on the wall, chiming the time...
So, Phil Juvedis was then speaking as a whistle went, and with that final surge... He's moved forward, but he's still in fourth place. But you did so well last time, Julian. Phil, sorry. Right. Equal in second place were Josie Lawrence and Rick Wakeman, but 2 points ahead of them was the man who said it won't work, but it did work this week, Julian. Julian Clary, you are our winner. It only remains for me to say thank you. These 4 fine players of the game, Phil Juvedis, Julian Clary, Josie Lawrence, and Rick Wakeman. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score and run the stopwatch for me and blown the whistle with such delicacy. We're grateful to our producer, to Lucia Galani. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House. And so from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and this talented team, thank you for listening. Tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes!